Welcome to the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily look at the significant issues of our time from an experienced conservative perspective. Mrs. Schlafly is president of Eagle Forum, a leading force in the pro-family movement since 1972. And now, here's Mrs. Schlafly.
In previous broadcasts, I've told you about President George W. Bush last year proclaiming in Waco, Texas, that the United States is now in a security and prosperity partnership with Mexico and Canada. At the time, it appeared to be just a press release showing hospitality to his guests, Vicente Fox of Mexico and Paul Martin of Canada. However, the research by Dr. Jerome Corsi shows that there's lots more to this than meets the eye. Government documents released under a Freedom of Information request reveal that the Bush administration is really running a shadow government with Mexico and Canada, in which the three heads of state have been agreeing on a broad range of policy decisions out of sight of Congress and the American people. These newly released documents, totaling 1,000 pages, show that the Security and Prosperity Partnership is operating in offices in the U.S. Department of Commerce. It is far advanced in putting together a new regional infrastructure, a sort of trilateral bureaucracy with Mexico and Canada that is moving rapidly to rewrite U.S. administrative law, all without congressional oversight or public disclosure. These documents reveal hundreds of internal meetings, memoranda, and other agreements that have not been disclosed to the American people. The Security and Prosperity Partnership has a secret internal website. There is no legal authorization for any kind of integration with Mexico and Canada by the Bush administration. According to Dr. Corsi, who has read these documents, the Bush administration is trying to create the infrastructure of a new regional North American government in stealth fashion, under the radar and out of public view. Ask your congressman to start a congressional investigation about these plans to integrate the United States with Mexico and Canada into one big North American union.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. For complete information on the World Trade Organization, the proposal to place American military forces under UN command, and the dangerous New World Order, write us at Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Ask for the latest on world government. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Heavyweight in the fight against illegal immigration and defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What's with this Terry Anderson guy?
He's articulating a popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention. I say that every week, and I mean it, folks, because if you ain't mad, something's wrong with you. You are brain dead. You haven't been awake. You've been living on a foreign world somewhere and don't understand that your world has been invaded. Your country has been done wrong. Your sovereignty is gone. Your culture is gone. Everything else is gone. And just in case you haven't heard, there was an election week before last, and the Congress of the United States shifted into a completely new direction to the left. Is that good? Probably not. Is it bad? I guess it is. But it is going to be different. And that's the important thing. Now, on the subject of the illegal alien invasion, the American people will get no relief from this new Congress, I guarantee you. But having said that, for the last 12 years, the Congress of the United States and 6 years of the presidency have brought us no relief either. So what's the difference? Yeah, I know. Somebody's out there saying there's always a difference. The Democrats suck and the Republicans are great. No, the Republicans did nothing, and that's why they're out of office. The guys who did do something, the Tancredos, the Steve Kings, and a few others, are still around. They're still around. We lost a couple of soldiers, but guess what? Most of them are still here. And they're going to help us, but we're going to have to do this thing ourselves, folks. What I'm trying to tell you, the American people are on their own. And if, excuse me, if you're going to fix this, you're going to have to do it without the help of the federal government. That's a fact. You can bet on that one. It seems to me like more and more Americans are taking a local local approach to fixing a federal problem as more and more states and municipalities are passing more and more laws and ordinances to do the job that the federal government is refusing to do. The ordinance in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, a great ordinance, and I saw the interview tonight on 60 Minutes. This guy is just a Lou Barletta. What a fabulous guy. Not afraid to talk. They tried to pin him, but you know what? He said it like it was. Illegal aliens have ruined his city, and he's not going to allow it anymore. I love him. The ordinance there was a fabulous ordinance, and it's going to set off more and more across the country. Record numbers of illegals are leaving his city now. Guess why? Because they're scared. Why? Because they know there will be no mercy for them in his town as far as services, as far as law enforcement, and anything else. And that's the way it should be. Escondido, California. An ordinance making it illegal to rent to illegal aliens. Great. Fabulous. More cities are going to do that. The state of Arizona. Prop 200 2 years ago, and now four more initiatives against the illegal alien invasion were passed on November the 7th. Let me ask you a question. We had an idiot call here last week, and he said the people don't care about it. And I asked him, if the people don't care about it, why were these propositions passed in the state of Arizona? He wouldn't answer. So naturally, you know me, I got rid of his sorry butt. But the point is, the people spoke. The people wanted this. The people demanded this, and the people got it. And if the people didn't care, those four initiatives would have went down in flames. And now we have the great state of Texas. They have joined the ranks of those who will no longer wait on the federal government to do their job. Last week, legislators in the state of Texas filed 12 bills, 12, an even dozen, that would restrict health care, employment benefits, and education to illegal aliens. And, this is a huge and to their U.S.-born jackpot baby children. You hear what I said? Their U.S.-born children will be restricted also. I'm going to get to it. Don't worry. Proponents of these bills give the usual reasons, all true, that hospital closures have affected them, flooded prisons and schools have affected them, flaunting of state and federal laws have affected them, and the billions of dollars that it is costing the state of Texas to take care of thousands and thousands of illegal aliens. Now, the critics of the bill use the same reasons that they always use, and it's the only reason they've got. Their only comeback is that the proposition measures are rooted in, guess what? Let's find a word here, folks, racism. It's the only word they've got, racism. Though not one word of race is mentioned in the propositions, and it will affect anybody in the country, in the state of Texas, who's there illegally. Not one time is the word race or ethnicity or anything else mentioned in these propositions, but they want to call it racist. Unbelievable. The state of Texas should take a less draconian way of fighting these issues, is what the opponents say. Less draconian. What's draconian about enforcing the laws of the United States of America and the state of Texas? What's draconian about giving somebody a ticket for doing 80 in a 50-mile-an-hour zone and punishing somebody for being in the country illegally? They are both laws that were broken. But no, we are draconian if we enforce that set of laws and the other laws they don't care about. State Rep. Norma Chavez, a member of the racist Mexican-American Legislative Caucus, said, quote, "It is unchristian, it is un-American, and any religious order would be against this legislation because it is too hateful," end quote. Unchristian? What the hell has that got to do with anything? How can it be unchristian when the Bible, my Bible, tells me that we should obey Caesar's laws? It says that we should be subdued by the local authorities. We should submit to the local authorities. But she ignores those passages of the Bible when she says it is unchristian. And how is it un-American to enforce our laws? Tell me that. How is it un-American to enforce our laws? It is un-American to not enforce the laws. Representative Leo Berman, who is one of the sponsors of these bills, asked the question, quote, "What other laws are you going to overlook?" end quote. I have said many times, what laws can I, as an American citizen, break? I've asked the LAPD, the LA District Attorney's Office, the Mayor's Office, the Governor's Office. I've asked the Congress of the United States when I testified there two times, which laws can I as an American break? I have yet to get a list. You know why? Because there is no list. I am held to every law as an American, but these chosen people, these illegal aliens, can break any laws they want to and get away with it. Unbelievable. This guy Berman, who initiated the bill, said he wants to eliminate the biggest incentive for illegal aliens to come to the U.S. That incentive is to have babies that are automatically American citizens. This bill would prohibit American-born children of illegal aliens from receiving state services available to all citizens. His bill would also deny them public education, health care, disability assistance, unemployment payments, welfare, food stamps, and would make them ineligible for state employment when adults. Now, I know some idiot out there is saying right now, you can't do that. They have a right. They were born here. They've always been citizens. Yeah, that is the truth. But guess what? That can change just like everything else changes. This man Berman said, quote, it's going to deny those benefits, and we know it's going to go into the court system, and that is the purpose of the bill, end quote. That's what I'm talking about. This guy knows that sooner or later, if this bill is passed, the courts are going to get it. The Supreme Court is going to get it, and that's what it's all about. It is an attempt to get a new ruling and reinterpretation of the 14th Amendment by the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, Berman also filed another bill that would impose an 8% fee on money sent to Mexico, Central America, and South American countries. Revenue from the fee would offset the costs incurred in Texas hospitals for the care of illegal aliens. When asked why he wrote this bill, Mr. Berman said, quote, we're just trying to get them to pay for the emergency room care that they use so frequently, end quote. That makes sense to me. Now, I know what you're thinking. You same stupid people out there saying, well, how are you going to distinguish between Americans and legal immigrants, between them and the illegal aliens who send money down south? Here's how, you idiots. There's a provision in the bill that would allow legal U.S. residents to recoup that fee. They can send the money free. But, you have to get a refund when you fill out a form and prove your legal United States residency. Ah, there's the rub. Who's going to be able to prove they're in the country legally? Probably very few. And that's the point of this. Another dissenter to this bill is State Senator Juan Hinojosa, who is the chairman of the State Hispanic Caucus, another racist organization, who said, quote, no doubt we have an immigration problem, but this is not the way to deal with it. We can do it in a smart way without being ugly and mean-spirited. I would ask Senor Hinojosa, what is that way? What would you do to fix the problem? You admitted there's a problem. What would you do? And I can tell you, folks, what he would tell you. A pathway to citizenship, a guest worker program, an amnesty for anybody in this country illegally that's got a pulse. That's what he would tell you. And I'm going to tell you why he would say it. Because most of them are his color, have the same allegiance to the same foreign country, and speak the same foreign language than he does. I will bet money on it. And I would ask him this question. If these illegal aliens were coming from Africa, Iceland, the Caribbean, or Mongolia, would he be out there advocating for them? And I'm going to answer the question for him. Hell no! He wouldn't care anything about them because he's a racist and he only cares about those of his own race. Texas is to be applauded just for bringing these bills up. Are they going to pass? Who knows? The point is, they're being brought up. Americans are fed up. They are sick. Don't despair because Democrats took control. The local authorities, the state authorities, are going to do what the federal government will not do, and this will get fixed one way or the other, because if they embarrass the federal government enough, they will have to do the bidding of the United States citizen. Citizen. Remember that word. This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All-American Radio Network.
Most Americans want government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But some politicians want to do away with borders entirely, and they have a plan for doing it. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, the FTAA, a roadmap for economic and political fusion of our hemisphere. If approved, Americans will lose control of their own future. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress to say no to the FTAA. That's stoptheftaa.org.
Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about the illegal alien invasion to the United States of America. And I want to remind everybody out there that has friends or relatives who cannot hear the sound of our voice, they can hear us by going to our website, and they can hear us live at theterryandersonshow.com. I want to welcome all those good folks tonight listening on our various stations across the country. KDWN, 720 AM, the great K-Dawn in Las Vegas. KFNX, 1100 AM, Phoenix, Arizona. And all the folks listening on our many RBN network stations across the country, which are too numerous to mention. Welcome to the Terry Anderson Show. Let me give out that caller number now. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, curse me out. But don't forget, you give back all that you give. You nasty, I'm nasty. You nice, I'm a pussycat. That number is 1-866-870-5752. That's 1-866-870-5752.
And now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. You folks have all heard about the lawless illegal alien woman, Elvira Arellano, who has defied the government deportation order and taken refuge in a Chicago storefront church. She's lawless. The church is lawless. And now a lawless governor, Bill Richardson, governor of Mexico. Remember him? He's the guy who said, quote, "We have to put aside party and think more of ourselves as Latinos, Hispanics, more now than we ever have in the past," unquote. Remember him? Well, last week, he sent a letter to President Bush urging the president to give a parole to this lawless, rotten broad so that she can remain in the United States with her American-born jackpot baby son, Saul. Governor Richardson said the case illustrates the problems of the federal government's failure to pass comprehensive immigration reform. He then said in the letter, speaking of Arellano and her son, 7-year-old Saul, quote, "Permitting the family to remain in the U.S. will allow the boy to continue to be raised as the great American he has already proven himself to be," unquote. What? How is he proving at 7 years old that he's a great American? Where the hell did that come from? I have two questions to ask, Senor Governor. One, if this woman and child were black and not Hispanic, would you be writing this letter to the president? And number two, Mr. Governor, if you wanted to write letters in behalf of Hispanics, which you obviously have, who have proven to be great Americans, where is your letter for Ramos and Compiègne, the Border Patrol agents who are going to jail for protecting this country? Where is your letter for them? Where is your letter of compassion to the president for these men? There is no letter. You know why? Because you don't like the fact that they're patrolling the border and locking up people that you consider to be your race. And that's a fact. You know it's a fact. You suck. You've always sucked, Mr. Richardson. But more than that, tonight, you are the horriblest clown of the week. All right, folks. We have a guest tonight. We're going to have him state his name so you can get used to him. Chris?
Hello, Mr. Terry. My name's Chris Burgard, and I'm the director of the film coming out called Border.
I saw this picture the other day, folks. I went to a screening in Hollywood. Les, my producer, and I went there. Fabulous thing. Now, Chris, we always talk about on the show story number three. The folks listening know what story number three is. Story number one is about the poor, poor, poor guy who comes here and has a hard life and can't seem to make it in this country, and he goes across the desert and everything. Story number two is about the same poor guy. Excuse me. However, there's a few people who are angry at him for being here and don't want him here because he's illegal. Story number three is a story that never gets told by the press, by the media in any way. That's the story of the Americans who live on that border, who are affected by the illegal invasion, about the people at the end of the illegal aliens' journey, like L.A., Chicago, or the Carolinas, or maybe Georgia, who have come to this country, who have lived in this country for years and years and years, and are affected by the presence of the illegal aliens. Those stories are not told. Your picture does depict that story. It tells a portion of story number three in a very fair way. It also gives the other side to an extent, but it gives more of our side than their side because it is the truth. And that's what I liked about your picture.
Thanks. You know, it wasn't that hard. We just went and turned the cameras on and then took 2.5 hours of footage and put it down to 1 hour and 40 minutes. And that's what we saw.
Well, you know what? One of the things I liked about it, you got down there and got dirty. You actually got down there in the dirt. You guys were on the border down there with Chris Simcox and the Minuteman. You actually went down there. You slept down there. You ate and lived down there. You went and you firsthand saw the dead bodies that were found in the desert, which is very unfortunate. None of us want anybody to die out there that way. That's a horrible thing. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And just as a disclaimer to you guys who may not really know anything about me and the show that much,
I'm against illegal aliens coming to my country, but I have the utmost compassion for my fellow man. I don't want anybody hurt. I want them all to have a good life, but I want them to have it in their country where they belong and not come here until they ring the doorbell and ask for permission. That's all I ask. Now, about your documentary, I noticed some things about it that might be politically incorrect. Some of the statements made in there about the president, not by you, but by some of those you interview. One of them was really a fabulous quote that I really probably shouldn't say on the air. You guys know which one I'm talking about. But you talked to real people who spoke their minds. What was that like? I mean, did you have to coax this out of them, or did you just say, hey, what about it? And they opened their mouth and let it rip.
For the most part, once they got past the point that there's a camera there, they just let it rip. And across the board, if you just let people speak, they'll tell you who they are. They'll tell you how they feel, whether you're with the ACLU, the Minutemen, the Border Patrol, or the people that are breaking the law coming across. They all want to be on TV and tell you what to think.
Well, you know, I know a lot of these people. I knew a lot of them personally. When I saw their faces, I knew them right away, and they know me. But a lot of them I didn't know. The surfer guy, I didn't know him from Santa Cruz.
He's from Santa Cruz, yes, sir.
This guy looked like a flaming liberal. I mean, you could tell he's not some hardcore right-wing conservative guy. This guy was a liberal guy, but he was angry about what was happening down there.
I'll tell you what, Terry, I ran into hundreds of people that were flaming liberals that are part of the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps that are getting their hands dirty. I ran into a whole lot of people that consider themselves JFK Republicans, fellas that were Vietnam War vets, fellas that... that thought that they still owed an oath to the country, even though they took the uniform off. And it was people across the board down there, no doubt about it.
Well, you know, I don't say flaming liberal in a bad way, because I get the emails from these Democrats and people who have obvious disagreements with me on other issues other than this, and they tell me, you know, they're very pro-abortion, they're very anti-gun, they're very pro-advancing the minimum wage, a lot of other things that I would kind of be against in ways. But on this issue, we come together. We agree. We believe in the same thing. That's the sovereignty of this country. So when a liberal comes over and agrees with me, he's just another American.
That was a neat part of the journey. While I was down in the bush and trying to get shot at and getting that story, my producer, Jennifer, was with the ACLU and some of the open border people, and it was interesting how much some of what we were hearing, they wanted the same goals, but were coming from way different places.
Now, Jennifer's here. Jennifer, what's your last name for the folks?
Champagne.
Jennifer, when you talked to the other side, the ACLU people, what was their attitude? Were they polite? Were they disrespectful to our views?
You know, to be quite honest, I had a very different experience because I went under the radar, per se. I wasn't aggressive. I wanted to know the...
Oh, of course. That's the best way.
And unfortunately, a lot of that group of people wouldn't speak to Chris because he was following the Minuteman. And
plus, he wears a cowboy hat. That's exactly intimidating also, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it also put a little bit of, oh, you're with them versus the objective of just going out there and getting the truth. So, to be quite honest, you know, Ray Abera of the ACLU...
Yeah, I know him.
...was lovely. You know, he had a very different... Chris had a very different experience with Ray on camera, where there were heated words exchanged and very disrespectful, but he was never disrespectful to me. I found him to be young and passionate about his views, which, you know, kind of contradicted some of the facts that we found along the way.
In other words, he was full of it, but go ahead, I can say it. You don't have to worry about it.
But he's intelligent.
Well, if you're a woman, he's going to be nice to you. Come on, why would he be nice to Chris? You know, you're a woman. But here's the thing that I have found out with these people, and I don't want to cut you off, but they will give you a smile in the face. They will say everything they can to make you think they're nice folks, and they're really not. Well, they are against the law, and they are aiding and abetting the law breaking of this country. So that makes them lawless people, Jennifer.
I agree with you. And to be honest with you, I got to sit down with Ray Abera for 3 hours. And in the beginning, it was very basic questions. But by the end, I was very aggressive, and we got some amazing footage.
By the end, the man told you that he was a racist and a communist, and you didn't have to ask him. He just came out and told you.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, I've asked many times why do they advocate for people who are in the country illegally? And it all comes down to what I said about the laws in Texas about the racial aspect of this. A lot of these people are extremely racist, And they don't like anybody that's not of their race. I have been told to go back to Africa. I'm sure you've been told to go back to Europe. I'm sure most of us have had these racial statements. But did you get any of that? Now, behind the scenes with the Minutemen down there on the border, when nobody was around, you know what I'm talking about, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, it's 4 or 5 guys around there shooting the breeze. Tell me about any racial statements you heard from them.
You know, I never came across blatant racism. Couple times, after you know, for a couple days, somebody may have said something that may have started going that direction, and one of the official guys from the Minutemen would stand up, walk over, and say, "You want to keep going that way, you can leave."
And see, that's the difference. Human nature is going to pick up a few people who may have racist tendencies, but they stopped it. And the other side is not going to stop it. They're going to fuel it. Viva la raza. You know what I mean? And they're going to just keep it going in that direction because that's what they believe in. Now, folks, I want to tell you about this picture. It was entertaining. There was some very good levity in it. There was some funny stuff. There was a lot of serious stuff. But I'm going to tell you, I had never in my life seen anything that told the truth as much as this. Not because I agree with the standpoint. I think Chris and Jennifer decided that they were going to make a picture that was fair, truthful, and give both sides. That's the first time I've seen that. I have never seen that yet. The media will never allow us to tell our side of the story unencumbered by a bunch of their stupid questions. And then you know what they do to you in the editing room. They cut it up. I have been so misquoted in things and seen the word racismo under my picture on Spanish TV so many times that now I don't even do interviews with them because they, you know, they cut it up. You guys seem to have been very fair to both sides.
It was important to me and my wife when we thought that somebody needed to put this on camera that we document this time in history. And so that following that parameter, it was really pretty easy to have it all right in front of us.
Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to discuss this a little more in the second half hour. And we're going to let you get in with some of the callers because I want them to understand. There's a lot of documentaries out there. I just was in one called Crossing Arizona. Have you seen that one? It was a little more slanted than yours was in the other direction, but still pretty fair. It was still pretty fair, but you could see where their thoughts were. But this one is the fairest one I've seen so far, and we should applaud you for putting it together the way you did. The cinematography was great. It had a very amateurish but refreshing look to it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It was refreshing to see the way it was shot by regular people, not by some guy from some office from some big studio. You know what I mean?
Actually, Danny Motor is our cinematographer, and he's amazing.
Great work. We're going to take a break, folks, and we're going to come back and talk with these guests a little more. But we're going to tell you how you can see this thing eventually. But right now, we've got that famous clip from the Brown Berets de Aslan, Mr. Augustin Cebeda. He will tell you what he thinks of you as an American, especially you white folks out there. He will tell you what he thinks, how long you should be able to stay in this country. And you tell me where the racism is and where it comes from. This is courtesy of CCIR.
About the Brown Berets, we're here today to show L.A., show the minority people here, the Anglo-Saxons, that we are here, the majority. We're here to stay. We do the work in this city. We take care of the spoiled brat children. We clean their offices. We pick the food. We do the manufacturing in the factories of L.A. We are the majority here, and we are not going to be pushed around. We're here in Westwood. This is the fourth time we've been here in the last 2 months to show white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, L.A., the few of you who remain, that we are the majority, and we claim this land is ours. It's always been ours, and we're still here. And none of this talk about deporting. If anybody's going to be deported, it's going to be you.
Come back to Simi Valley, you skunks! Come back to Woodland Hills! Come back to Boston! Go back to the Plymouth Rock, you pilgrims! Get out! We are the future! You're old and tired! Go on! We have beaten you! Leave like beaten rats!
You old white people, it is your duty to die!
Even their own ethicists say that they should die. They have a duty to die. They're taking up too much space, too much air. We are the majority in L.A. There's over
7 million Mexicans in L.A. County alone. We are the majority. And you're going to see every day more and more of it as we manifest, as our young people grow up and graduate from high school, go on to college, and start taking over the society. Our people are, the vast majority of people are under the age of 15 years old. Right now, we're already controlling those elections, whether it's through violence or nonviolence, through love of having children, we're going to take over.
This is Atlanta. This is Mexico.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, and as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks all revealed. It took us a lifetime to learn. Now you get it all. You can pay off your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. You can start this great hidden career today. Just give us a call at 1-780-457-7109. That's 1-780-457-7109. Again, that's 1-780-457-7109. Or visit us at www.windowgenie.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's a classic dog book. And who doesn't love dogs? It's suitable for all ages, and I guarantee you are going to love it. It's an instant adventure classic that is a roller coaster of a ride that has a strong message for young and old alike about, guess what, doing the right thing. Anyone making a donation to the Terry Anderson Show of $30 or more is going to receive a hardcover copy of this book. Les will autograph each copy. The Adventures of Tracker. Just let him know who you would like it signed to, and then you will have it sent straight to you in time for Christmas. That's right. Send your donation to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. That's the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604.
This is the Terry Anderson Show. We talk about the illegal alien invasion. Folks, I'm going to get to all the callers. Don't go anywhere. But before we do, I want to kind of wrap things up a little bit here with Chris and Jennifer. And I want to say, look, and Todd, who's sitting here very quietly, I want to say, this is a piece that you're going to be able to see pretty soon. It's going to be in theaters. But when it's there, don't wait, folks. Go see this. You have to support it because people who make these pictures, they are dependent on those who view them. And if nobody goes to see it, you know, there won't be another one made. It is worth seeing. It is interesting. It is entertaining. And it is the truth. And that's the main thing that I liked about it.
Thank you, sir. You know, the biggest thing I'd like to get across, Terry, and thanks for having us here, is the conditions that the ranchers and the people within 100 miles of the border are living in.
Their story is never told either,
Their story is never told. You're talking about grandmothers that can't let their kids play in the backyard, that they have to take two people to feed the horses, one with an assault weapon, basically, to guard the other person. They can't leave their ranches. Their ranches will be broken into, and it's usually by the druggies going back to Mexico after they've dropped off their loads. And people need to understand that those poor fellas that want to come up here and work, that the cartels, that the smuggling operations that bring them across have been taken over by the drug cartels. The drug cartels are making as much money in human traffic and in indentured servitude down there as they are bringing narcotics. And they're making billions of dollars a week bringing narcotics across.
And the government knows about it on both sides, their government, our government. Nothing's being done. It could be fixed in the twinkling of an eye if they just had the will to do it, and they haven't had the will so far.
It could be fixed tomorrow.
You can see this on the website. You can see the trailer on the website, which is
www.bordermovie.com.
Bordermovie.com, folks. It's good stuff. When it comes out, you will know the title right away. It's very simple, Border. And it's worth seeing. Trust me, Les and I went to see it the other day. We were happy that we were invited. We enjoyed it. And the people who were there in the screening room all enjoyed it. There were people from different points of view. But even those who were against my point of view enjoyed the picture. And that's something to say. We're going to get to the phones now. Let's get right to it. Let's go to Gary calling from Riverside. Gary, what do you hear? What do you say?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
I don't know if you heard about the little protest we had at McGonigal Canyon in North County, San Diego.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I was there, and I was there before, and basically what people know out there is what you have anywhere, they say 300, I say 500 minimum in one canyon, but there's probably 20,000 through all the canyons. It looks like a third world out there. There's human feces. There's the potential.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the trash, Gary.
Well, the trash... The environmental destruction. I'm surprised that some type of infectious disease hadn't broken out. These people are urinating and everything else out there, destroying it. But I want to tell you something. Julie Adams, and I know her, and the Minuteman, and a bunch of good people did a lot of work out there, and they're putting the pressure on Mayor Sanders in San Diego to get rid of this. But I want to tell you what's happening out there. I can see it. Several instances there. That morning, a Minuteman was taking some pictures not too far from there at a work site, and these guys, this guy is a Marine, they thought that they were going to take him and his camera and his personal property and mug him. They didn't like it. Well, anyway, he pounded three of them in submission, and the other five ran away.
I love it.
After they had stole his camera, but they put him down. But these people have tried to intimidate us forever, And I just want the American people to know that we have to take this back one street at a time. I've got to tell you a real quick story. A friend of mine, Ken Lester, down there, he's a Minuteman, and he does border tours down there for politicians and stuff. This is a true story. The guy that was running against Kennedy is a Republican, went to the border several months ago.
I remember.
They were at the border. Did you hear what happened?
No.
Okay, in come about 30 rocks the size of tennis balls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me tell you what this man did. This man ran up to the Mexican border, picked up a handful of rocks, and started pounding them at the Mexicans. And when his aide goes, we can't get that on camera, he goes, hell yeah, put it on camera. The American people and the people of Massachusetts aren't going to put up with it.
When did we become a nation of punks that allowed people, a nation of sissies that allowed people to throw rocks at us and we don't throw them back? What's that about?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've been in the border several times, and I've seen the Border Patrol rocked. And I've been rocked, and other people have been rocked. And this is a warning to the people of Mexico that are here that think they're going to be hellraisers. Hell no, we're not going to take it anymore. If you pick up a rock, we're going to pick up a big one. If you come into our neighborhood raising hell, we're going to boot your ass back out of here. We don't care what the government says. We're going to take our neighborhoods back one neighborhood at a time. And we're going to do it through the ballot box. But let me tell you something. If you come into our neighborhoods and you start robbing us and you start raping our women and causing hell, we're going to get you the hell out of here.
Gary, thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Chris, you saw some of that at the border, the trash.
Is just unbelievable. I mean, ranchers are losing their ranches because the land will never come back from the tons of garbage these people leave there. My first mission with the Minutemen, we picked up garbage for 4 hours in 110-degree heat. It was There were M16 cartridges, magazines, there was speed, there was other types of drugs, there were syringes. And about the rocks, you go to Nogales, and on the other side of the fence, they've mounted rooftop slingshots with surgical rubber, and they launch bricks, rocks at the Border Patrol. So all it looks like Mad Max, because all their vehicles have these cages around them. We were down there. In fact, I think it's on film. They took a swipe at us, and a big rock just missed us and hit the heads. It's like third world. It's crazy.
Unbelievable. Family values. Let's go to Libby, calling from Foothill Ranch. Libby, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry. Well, actually, you alluded to this briefly in your monologue, but I agree with you about deporting the illegal aliens and what have you, but how do you address the fact that so many children are going to be uprooted from a lifestyle to which they've grown accustomed?
You know, and Libby, that's a valid question.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like you will admit that the parents have broken the law.
Oh, of course.
Okay. The parents broke the law. What happens when a bank robber or a car thief or a junkie breaks the law? This kid's parents go to jail. They're separated from the children. These kids are put in this position by their parents, not by the government of the United States and not by the American people. It is a sad situation. I will acknowledge that, but it's something that needs to be done. They don't have to take them. They can leave their American-born children here with somebody else. But the parents have to be deported. That's just the way it is.
Right. So then you do think that there should be some sort of exit strategy or something put into place so that these kids could have some sort of transition from an American lifestyle back to their home country?
I don't know about that. I don't know how that would work. I just believe that the parents need to be deported, and it is the responsibility of the illegal alien parent to transition those children however they're going to be transitioned. I don't believe that it's our responsibility whatsoever.
Okay.
I do thank you for the call, and it is a valid point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Libby. Thank you very much. All right. Let's go to Michelle calling from Phoenix, Arizona, KFNX country. Michelle, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, hi, Terry. As you know, I'm the president of Mothers Against Illegal Aliens, and I really appreciated that last caller. That was a really valid point. And as our stance is with Mothers Against Illegal Aliens, the real issue is that these children are not legal citizens of the United States.
No, they're not.
The 14th Amendment. The legislative language intended that it took a citizen to make a citizen. And as we know, Senator Howard's language, which was the original author of the 14th Amendment, he made it real clear that foreigners, ambassadors, and aliens, children, we're not citizens of the United States, which in essence is every single Mexican citizen woman who's here who has a child, an anchor baby, a jackpot baby, whatever we want to call it, just like that woman in Chicago, Elvira Arellano, whose son is traveling all over the country right now, Saul Arellano, who's in Mexico and who had the New Mexico, yes, our New Mexico governor write a letter to the president asking that we keep families together. And the real thing is, folks, we as Americans have to get really tough on this issue because our legal American children are the ones that are suffering.
We do.
They are putting their children in front of ours, and we cannot accept that.
And, Michelle, you know, I know the work you're doing down in Phoenix. You're a great lady. And I would
tell the
lady, Libby, that just called, who has some concerns about this, that, you know, even though I might have concerns about the illegal alien people and their American-born children, my main concern is for American children who are coming up short.
Well, Terry, one thing we will need to remember is back in Vietnam days, we had the Amerisian children, that America didn't have a problem leaving those American-born children from American GIs. They didn't bring them home to America to be with their fathers. They left the mothers and the American-born children there. America seems to have a cold heart, in my opinion, to the legal American children, but an open, welcoming heart to illegal people coming in, and I'll tell you the reason why. If they can make these illegal people who have no real loyalty to this country come here and overpopulate us, that's in essence the prelude to the whole New World Order thing, which is really the real issue of what's making this humongous issue of illegal immigration our real issue that's just opening up in people's eyes. It's a bigger issue, but I think we're really doing a really great job. This year has been wonderful for Mothers Against Illegal Aliens, and I just would hope and urge everyone, if you know the story about that boy, Saul Arellano, please, you write the president and say, you know what, we're not taking this in it no more. That little boy can go home with his mother, and this mother is avoiding her penalty, which she should be prosecuted. She should be evacuated from that
and
building,
the, and the church
won't do their job.
And the church should be prosecuted, and all these organizations that have backed them should be prosecuted because they're a bunch of lawless people, and we do not allow lawlessness in our country. Michelle, as usual.
One last thing. I just want to let you know, here in my neighborhood, here at 40th Street in Thomas and Phoenix, just this last week, there was semi-automatic gunfire two blocks from my daughter's front window, and there was graffiti now at her school. It's starting to really show its presence here in Arizona.
Michelle, where I live here in South Central L.A., I can't go to sleep unless there's gunfire. I just can't seem to drop off. Thanks for the call, kid.
Thank you, take care.
Today.
I love you. Bye.
Likewise. Take care. All right, let's go to Barbara Cole, calling from Huntington Beach. Barbara, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry.
Hey, kid.
I want to get down to the down and dirty, and I want to share with your listeners our meeting on November 21st, and you have promised to be there along with other wonderful Minuteman, Jim Gilchrist, Ted Hayes, Tony Dulles, and so on and so forth. Because we are at the down, as I said, at the down and dirty, we are looking to that meeting to collect supplies for those wonderful people on the border, who risk their lives to protect ours.
Barbara, we need the time of the meeting. We run out of time here. I got to get back to the guests. Where's the meeting and what time?
Okay. Tuesday, November 21st, starts at 6:30 p.m., Garden Grove Women's Center, 9501 Chapman Avenue at Gilbert. If anybody needs any further details, just call our easy-to-remember toll-free number, 877-NO-ILLEGALS. Be there and help us support these wonderful people on the border.
All right, kid. Thanks for the information.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to D.A. King calling from Marietta, Georgia. D.A., what do you hear? What do you say?
Terry Anderson, long time since I heard your voice on this radio show. I don't get to stay up this late very often.
Yeah, it's late back there. I know.
Listen, I am an American citizen here in Georgia. I work hard. I'm not a terrorist, and I'm looking for a better life, but my government has deserted me. Any advice, pal?
Maybe we should move. Let's go to Finland or somewhere, Iceland or Denmark.
Nowhere to go, buddy. Listen, the reason that I called, I was catching up on some reading today, and I was reading something about my friend Terry Anderson on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website. Do you know a guy named Brenton Mock?
Yeah, I met him in Las Vegas, a young black man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he interviewed me in Las Vegas. He's a lying sack of beef manure, first of all. This guy said that he was doing an article for Source magazine, and it turned out he was doing an article for the Southern Poverty Law Center. No problem, because I stand behind every word I said in the article in the interview. It's not a problem there. But it was the dishonesty that this guy came at. Well, let me tell you something else about this guy, D.A. Young black man, name is Brenton Mock. Let's make sure we get the name right. I guess he's between 30 and 40 years old, somewhere in there. The most racist, blatantly racist individual I'd ever met. Let me tell you what he said to me at the meeting and again on the phone when he did the interview on the phone, because he called me a few weeks later. He hates white people. Can't stand them. Said he was nervous as a hooker in church at that meeting in Vegas, sitting around so many white people. Said it made him nervous. Said he couldn't stand being around all that red, white, and blue. All of that patriotism made him nervous. And then to make it worse, you're not going to believe this. I'm 56 years old, 57 years old, excuse me. I always forget. This guy hit on me. He actually hit on me. Yes, he did. I mean, this is unbelievable. They're sending out people to do hit pieces on me that actually sexually hit on me in public.
Good God.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. But you know, that's private. I mean, that's okay. You know, what can I tell you about that? But the thing that really got me was his blatant racism and his hatred and disdain, not only for America, but for anybody with a white skin. That he told me, that he said to me, it was unbelievable. And he's working for an organization that is supposed to be fighting racism. Unbelievable.
Well, he works for the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is operated by a man named Morris Dees.
Scum of the earth.
I read a lot of what Morris Dees puts out. Morris Dees has made millions and millions of dollars from the far, far left. And you know what he writes about, Terry? He writes about nothing but people's ethnicity and their skin color.
Yeah, see, I don't even see ethnicity and skin color. All I see is people. And you know, getting back one more time to this Brenton Mock, this hit guy for them, let me tell you about him. Here was a young brother, as we say, who was trying to make it, trying to write a piece, and I said, let me help this guy. He might be having a hard time breaking into this writing field. You know what I mean? And he ended up being a Judas. But that's how it goes when you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas, and I got a few of the Southern Poverty Law Center fleas on me, but it's a badge of honor, DA. You've been hit by them. Mark Edwards has been hit by them. Barbara Cole, it is a badge of honor.
Well, maybe this Bretton Mock character, maybe he will write a piece on the American Border Patrol, the United States Border Patrol, who are right now risking their lives
to
secure our borders. Maybe he will write a piece and judge them as being a racist group or a hate group.
We'll see, but I doubt it. And I'm going to tell you why, because some of them might be white, and he's afraid to say anything nice about a white person.
Yeah, maybe, Terry. I know you got a lot of callers. Listen, pal, I want to say this on the air from one American to another. My friend, thank you very much for your courage, and thank you for everything that you do.
All right, buddy. Likewise. It is mutual.
Come
take care,
me,
D. We'll do. Yeah, this guy kept talking about something on the down low. I didn't know what that was about. It was really some amazing stuff. Have you had any exchanges with the Southern Poverty Law Center, Chris?
No,
You will. Trust me, it's coming. And when they hit you, don't worry about it, because if you haven't been had a hit piece done on you by them, you haven't arrived.
So you know when you made it.
When they are the scum of the earth. They are a bunch of people who go around and misinterpret things. They lie. I tell you what, this guy was the most blatantly racist person, and he was a black man. Racist, racist, racist. But he's going to write about racism in his articles. Unbelievable.
Well, I've often found that when people can't write about the truth, that's just what they fall into.
Absolutely, and that's all they have. Let's go to Michael calling from Woodland Hills, California. Michael, what do you say? Not much time.
Terry, I want to make it quick. Two things. First, in honor of Thanksgiving, I give thanks that you're on the air. And second, I want to support Governor Richardson's call for family reunification. All I ask is that before we worry about any illegal aliens, we reunite Terry March and her daughter with their father. If we can take care of that, then we can deal with the illegal aliens just fine.
Well, sounds good to me. And when that happens, I will be just as happy as you are.
Righto.
Michael, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go to Howard, calling from Van Nuys, California. Howard, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Terry, real quick, I'm sure glad you're on the air. One minor point. I wish you wouldn't rag on us Democrats. I'm a Zell Miller Democrat. I'm as anti-illegal alien as you. I would
Howard, hold on now. You heard what I said earlier to Jennifer when she was talking. I said that I'm not against Democrats or left wingers or anything else. And let me do a disclaimer just for you, Howard. I'm not against Democrats. I don't follow your ideology. I don't think much of a lot of the liberalism that your party has. However, George Putnam is a Democrat. Mike Cutler is a Democrat. Some of these very good people are Democrats, and I welcome you to this fight. We have that in common. No matter what we think of anything else, Howard, we have that in common. So I won't rag anymore. How's that? Huh?
Someone's got to tell her this is not a theocracy here.
There you go.
And her alleged son who's born here, as that lady said, under the 14th Amendment, you have to not only be born or naturalized in the United States, but be under the jurisdiction thereof.
That's right. I said
these cases like Roe versus Wade says it's your body, not the government's. How can a newborn baby be under the jurisdiction when the mother isn't?
I said this on Peter Boyle's show in Denver the other morning and got a lot of emails. If I was in Chicago and I was in charge, I'd drag that broad out by her hair.
Exactly.
That's what I would do. That's what I would
Last
do.
Last but not least, Terry, and most important, I wish you would get some lawyer or somebody who knows law to get on and tell us what we as citizens can do. Can we go make citizens' arrests?
Good stuff.
Can we put handcuffs on these people hanging around at Home Depot?
We'll see, Howard.
Howard,
I'll check that out.
Howard Berman gets cancer of the rear end.
Howard Berman. Howard, thanks a lot. Howard the Democrat. Buddy, call me again.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you and happy Thanksgiving.
Likewise, sir. Thank you so much. Folks, those of you listening in Los Angeles and those of you listening online know that this is a live night of radio, and following me is the great Loris Riscala. Boy, if you could see her, you guys would listen just based on that. Anyway, I won't embarrass her. Loris is going to be after me, and she's going to have something very interesting, as she always does. What's happening tonight, Loris?
Hey, Terry. Tonight we're going to talk to one of the heroes of the War on Terror, Stephen Emerson. The man risks his life to get the message out on Islamofascism and literally has death threats all the time because he gets the word out. So we're going to talk with him live tonight on the program.
Sounds like a winner. As usual, she always has a lively show. You folks can call in. You know that number, 1-866-875-752, although her lines are usually full like mine. So I attribute that to her style and to her grace on the radio. She has a very good show, Loris Rascala Live. We'll look forward to that. Let's take another call real quick. Let's go to Tom calling from Santa Barbara. Tom, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hey, I'll be quick. It has a lot to do with the preceding call and the 14th Amendment, and is actually the first sentence in that amendment about these jackpot babies are not legal. I think it's also noteworthy California didn't even ratify that amendment until May of 1959, only 47 years ago. I'm sure it was incumbent upon them to follow it, but it doesn't make any difference. They're not legal, and that not only is that kid's mom not legal, he's not legal. But I don't hear that brought up enough, and that's a theme that needs to be wrung out all the time.
Maybe
you could just capitalize and say where that is.
That's a good point, Tom. Great point. Thanks for the call, buddy.
You bet.
All right, let's go real quick to Rick calling from Chicago. Rick, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Listen, I know you're running short on time, but this is not...
Oh, Rick Viasada, what's up, buddy?
Hey, if we could have got Elvira Eliano out of the church, believe me, she'd be gone. I was down there four times.
I remember.
With Ted Hayes twice and Concerned Black Americans. We went down there with them, and this pastor stacked the church with black Muslims, with Louis Farrakhan's people.
Racist, bunch of racists.
Yeah, so instead of the press interviewing Cab, they interviewed these black Muslims. But the point I wanted to make was this Silvestri Reyes, a congressman from Texas, was just appointed chief of the Homeland Security. His daughter runs the company that sells the United States all of its sensors and photo equipment for the border. Are you aware of that?
Amazing. Amazing. Talk about your nepotism.
He wants to do away with the fence and put up a virtual border.
I bet.
More electronics equipment to Chicago.
As the great George Putnam would say, Rick, follow the money trail.
Yeah.
Got to go, buddy.
Listen,
thanks for the call. We'll talk. Real quick, let's go to Lawrence calling from Garden Grove, California. Lawrence, what do you hear? What are you saying? Not much time.
Hey, Terry, I'm doing great, and I'm glad that you've got Chris on there tonight. I'm part of the original Minutemen group, and Chris did interview me for that video while we were down there in Arizona. I don't know if Chris is where I can say hi to him, but I appreciate him being on your show and for you letting him be on the show to get
Lawrence, how's everything going with the fire department, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Glad you guys could say hi. Got to go, Lawrence. We're at the end of the show.
Thank you, Terry. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Thank you, sir. You too.
All right. Blessings.
All right. Sorry, Jerry, Max, Curtis, the rest next time. Sorry, guys. I tried to get on new callers tonight, and I know you guys are regulars. I'll get to you next time. We're out of time, Chris. We got to go. I got two announcements I have to make. A soldier in our fight against illegal alien invasion, Fred Akers, passed away last Friday. He was 68 years old, a fabulous guy. The other thing is Joe Gazzardi is sick, folks. He's not doing well. We're trying to find out what's wrong with him, but your prayers will be welcome. Closing words, website.
www.bordermovie.com.
Good stuff, folks. When you get a chance to see this, go watch the trailer now. It is good stuff. Todd, Chris, Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You betcha.
All right, folks. Don't forget immigrationbuzz.com. That's the website of Rusty Childress, Childress Auto Mall, 22nd Avenue, and Camelback. Don't forget this week with the swings. You're going to love these two, folks. Tropisms, why atheism is dumb, dumber than a stump, and now you see them, now you don't. You can read on our website this week with the swings. Good stuff. I want to thank Alex for doing the show tonight, my engineer, Flawless, and my producer, Les Blinghorn, for taking your calls. And I want to remind you, folks, that we do need your help to stay on the air. If you can help us, we appreciate it because we are non-funded, and that's the way it goes. Stick around for Loris Rascala. Don't forget those three websites we talk about every week, the TerryAndersonShow.com. And don't forget our good buddy, Juan Mann, at DeportAliens.com. And for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, AmericanPatrol.com. This is Terry Anderson for the All-American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week as usual. And Friday night in Phoenix, I will be on KFNX Michael Holiday Show. We will be back attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.